Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in for a breaking news edition of the Lions 24/7 podcast. This has been a month in July that has been full of recruiting splashes here in Happy Valley. The Nittany Lions making their biggest, yet you can argue, deny Dennis Sutton, now on board with the 2022 Penn State recruiting class, commitment number 21 as this group continues to grow, the ninth edition here in the month of July. And Sean, this is one that you have had on the top of your target board, even when Nick Singleton hadn't yet decided, deny Dennis Sutton. What a finish for Penn State, Alabama, Georgia, the other hats on the table. And yes, they would have loved to have deny Dennis Sutton on board.
Yeah, never a doubt, right? That's what we put our crystal balls in January and rode them the whole way. This one was crazy. Big win for Penn State. As I said before, I think it's the biggest win James Franklin has had. There's a bit of hyperbole in there, but if you look at the wins that he's had against competition like this, they're few and far between. And this one as big as any. I understand that Penn State's got the tremendous relationship with McDonough. They were the team to beat from the start, and I get that. But with the vigor that Georgia and Alabama came after this kid, especially a kid that's up north, that makes a difference. That is huge. And that's a big one for Penn State. I think this is a kid, a potential face of the program, away from him being a fantastic defensive lineman. He's also a great kid, a kid that just you're going to like when you have your first interaction with him, whether that be podcast or video or something like that. This is a kid that you're just kind of drawn to. Don and I have talked about in the past. That's kind of the first place we go with it, with deny Dennis Sutton, away from all the football stuff. Just a great kid. So I can't speak highly enough about this pickup for Penn State. It's a great job by the staff. It's a great job by, you know, guys that we have talked about in the past as question marks, guys like John Scott Jr., who has put together a really, really good defensive line class. But this is the cherry on top. This is the big one for Penn State.
Another top 100 prospect for Penn State in terms of the composite ranking and where he lands there from a rating standpoint. I look back, Sean, over the course of the James Franklin era, going back to the 2014 recruiting cycle, and really the only defensive signees that they've brought in who have been clearly above him in composite ratings at this stage. Remember, he didn't play as a junior. He's going to have a chance to rise, but it's Brandon Smith, Curtis Jacobs, and Micah Parsons. Each of them evaluated as five-star linebackers, each of them developing into starters at Penn State. Brandon Smith, Curtis Jacobs going to be big pieces of this defense. Parsons, of course, an All-American. Then Dennis Sutton from the same program as Curtis Jacobs, as our current Nittany Lions defensive lineman, PJ Mustafer, Devon Ellis. That pipeline grows. By the way, Kenny Sanders is back on campus, another McDonough guy. You mentioned this, that's a huge role here, but in no way was that going to be the determining factor, I think. When you talk about what Alabama, what Georgia were able to present during his visits to Athens and Tuscaloosa, sandwiched in between that, you had him getting back to Happy Valley for a weekend for his official visit. How'd they get it done here, Sean? Because this certainly seemed like it was heading in the wrong direction. The further we got away from his official visit in June before we got here into July.
Yeah, coming out of that Georgia visit, you heard a lot of positive feedback for the Dogs. They do a really good job closing on guys when they get them on campus. But Penn State had that next weekend, had the rest of the month for him to get through it. Not really like the Nick Singleton situation, but kind of we thought Nick Singleton coming out of his Notre Dame visit was going to Notre Dame, and Penn State was able to turn that one back around. It's kind of how it happened here. For a spell, it looked like he was going to Georgia, and then all of a sudden, I think the relationships won out. James Franklin, John Scott, Kenny Sanders, as you mentioned, Anthony Poindexter getting in there, Jaywon, just everybody. Everybody had a hand in this, and it was one of those things where you really weren't sure up until the end. That they would get it done, and it seemed to put it over the top. I feel like his recruitment, and I'm not going to get into the comparison that I made on the show earlier this week, but you felt Penn State was in a really good spot. We put that crystal ball in. I put that crystal ball in after speaking with him in either I think it was either late December, early January. And I'm like, this is a Penn State kid. This is a kid at Penn State is going to be in a great spot for. At that point, he had the offers from Alabama, Georgia, and you just weren't sure. You never know how hard those schools are going to push because they can push for the best of the best. And sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. That's why offer lists are so misleading these days. You can say Penn State picked him over Alabama, Georgia, and actually mean it in this one. Whereas for a lot of different guys, that's not the case. And that's why we don't rate based off of offers, because offers have become less meaningful than ever before. So that's kind of a side tangent there. But no, it was one of those things where he fit everything that you think about when I've been covering this team for over 15 years, you think about that as a Penn State player, as a Penn State kid. And it's a bit of a overused stereotype, but he really fit in well with the commits. He told us back then he was in the commit group chat. Peer recruiting was big in this one. But the relationships are really what brought it back around. And I think that there's different selling points for Georgia, Penn State, Alabama. Penn State hammered home, hey, you come here, you're here for 3 years, you focus entirely on football, you're not far from home, your mom can come see you play, things like that. Just that the sort of family feel. There's a different selling point when you're in the SEC, and it was really a big turnaround for Penn State to sort of turn this one on its head, like Singleton, make that switch and bring it all the way back around. Because as we saw last cycle, without visits, without getting in front of them and having these person-to-person relationships, that didn't happen. And that's been a criticism of the Franklin staff probably the last couple of cycles, even when they did have some visits in 2019 and 2020. So I think that just turning it on its head was an unbelievable job. I'll just say that. I mean, we like to keep our praise sort of succinct and under control here, but really an unbelievable job by the staff to get this one done.
Our last episode, we were asked in the mailbag about memorable back and forth recruitments. And the common theme that we were finding in that discussion, Sean, was that there were committable offers on the table from the elites, the Alabamas of the world, the Ohio States of the world, the budding heads.
We knew they were committable because those kids would commit to those schools.
Budding heads with those programs who, you know, they've got the more recent trophies. They've got the hardware that they can show off. Penn State would love to be able to present that case more, but coming off a 4-5 season and doing this, I think stands out because some of those other names I referenced, Curtis Jacobs, Brandon Smith, we're talking about, you know, coming off of 11 win seasons or coming off of a Big Ten championship run. When you start recruiting a guy like Brandon Smith, this time you're coming off of a bit of a debacle, quite frankly, in 2020. We've talked about that a lot, overcoming it and being able to get hot in the recruiting trail. But when you are having a young man like Deni Dennis Sutton go sit across the desk from Nick Saban, who likes to pop those rings, and there's a lot of them on the table, and you still end up getting him to Happy Valley. Again, it's shown exceeding expectations this summer for Penn State. And we had pretty high expectations. You were very high. You said they're going to get to 20 commits before August. They've now passed that. But still, I think they are just getting it done in a way that I didn't know if they'd be able to do because of where they were, you know, on the field last year, 4-5. I just wondered if that would ultimately serve as a detriment or an impediment that they just couldn't get past in some instances. And they seem to be doing so.
There was rampant criticism, and a lot of it was deserved in terms of how they struggled to close out on guys, especially local guys, you know, Fleming, Rucci, those guys. But this is one that they were able to turn around, and, have they turned the corner? That's macro stuff that you probably are wasting your time speaking about. But if you look at the wins in this cycle, they've had guys that they've had on the board for a long time. As you said, they're at 21 commits right now, could be, you know, by the end of the month, could be at 24. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous when you think about the hit rate, based on who they brought in for visits, what they've seen in terms of, guys that have visited elsewhere and turned around. And then you go with the competition level. I mean, Georgia, number one class in 2018, number two class in 2019, number one class in 2020, number four class in 2021. That's about as good as it gets. I mean, Alabama's always going to be up there. Ohio State's always going to be up there. Clemson, maybe not so much in the recruiting rankings because of the way they work their numbers. But Georgia is best of the best. So, ton of credit here for James Franklin. John Scott did some good things here. As I mentioned, bringing back Kenny Sanders, getting that new recruiting staff in there. Alan Semitis deserves some credit. Hunter Carson deserves credit. You know, everybody on that defensive recruiting staff deserves a lot of credit in this one. So can't say enough. I mean, the criticism, as we've said in the past, has been deserved at times. This one, now all the credit is your credit is worthy of being heaped upon the staff for this one.
Dennis Sutton, we've got him listed, Sean, it looks like 6'5", 250 pounds. I mentioned this earlier. He did not play a junior season. This is a very rare situation where we see now two commitments in the Penn State class who didn't have junior seasons. Jerry Cross up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that was wiped out by the pandemic. That being said, there's a bit of a vacuum in terms of film from Denai Dennis Sutton, but he's been on the camp circuit. You've seen him. You've spoken with him several times. The instant impact term is thrown around a lot when you talk blue chips. It really does seem to fit, though, in this instance.
You think about what Penn State's brought in at defensive end over the last couple of years, and you know, there's been questions there because they've brought in guys and that have been projects, and it's a project type position. You bring in guys with like Adisa Isaac that's 6'4", 6'5", 205, 210 at that time, and you build them up, and that's one type of project. But you've also got long-term guys. They brought in Bryce Mostella, Rodney McGraw, Davon Townley, guys like that. And you find yourself in a little bit of a hole here. They had to go to the portal to get Arnold Ebiketie. Nick Tarburton, it hopefully can be a pleasant surprise for them. And if he can be, that's such a big piece for that. You move Zariah Fisher down there. You can maybe see Jesse Lucchetta playing in there. So, you know, defensive end has gone from pretty steady, and then all of a sudden you lose those two guys to the NFL and you got plenty of question marks. So, but I think Denai Dennis Sutton, in terms of being ready to go, probably in that Yetur Gross-Matos mold, probably think his ceiling's a little bit higher than Yetur, which is saying something for a second round pick. But this is a guy that I think can come in, play right away as a freshman. I don't know if he's going to be a knockdown, drag out, couple sack guy as a freshman, but he can get in there and play right away. Not having his junior season obviously is not ideal, but at least he gets to play as a senior. Phenomenally talented kid. We saw him at Under Armour Baltimore, just kind of blew away the competition there. We invited him. He did not get an Under Armour All-American invite that day, and how that did not happen, I have no idea. It was kind of mind blowing, and they felt the same way. The McDonough crew felt the same way. So we turned around and invited him to the old Army game in San Antonio, and he accepted on the spot. So we're really, really excited to have him in that game. So All American caliber player, All American caliber kid. We just, and kind of a behind the curtain look right now, we're recording this before our updated rankings come out. We know he's going to go up a little bit on 24/7 Sports, or maybe a lot on 24/7 Sports. Who knows? But his composite's going to go up. So that's why we haven't told you what number he is, because not math guys. We're not going to figure that out. But this kid is going to end up Penn State's highest, I believe Penn State's highest rated composite player.
And when we look right now, that is Nick Singleton, who is also in the Army All-American Bowl. That's going to be must-see TV for us and for Penn State fans. Sean, you've got a Penn State backfield with Nick Singleton and Drew Aller now committed to playing that game, and add Denai Dennis Sutton. There's a lot to look forward to down in San Antonio.
Might be checking some flights for San Antonio here.
Yeah, that's, no kidding.
Good sell job in there.
and you talk about Yetur Gross-Matos. So that kind of brings me to my next point. Considering the size here, do you see this Denai Dennis Sutton as the kind of defensive front figure who can move inside like Yetur did throughout his career? We saw him playing defensive tackle position in certain packages, pass rush situations. Can Denai Dennis Sutton fit that mold for what they're looking for in this defensive scheme?
I think he fits a lot of the things that Yetur did. I think he's a little bit more explosive. Yetur is a little bit longer and loopier, but a highly productive kid. You know, that's the thing we talk about with defensive ends and guys that have high ceilings at defensive end, like Anai White in Philadelphia. I think Anai White is further from it, probably has a little bit higher ceiling, but further from that ceiling. Denai can go in there, and he's highly productive as a high school kid. He's also very athletic, makes things happen. And it's kind of like he's the high floor, high ceiling kid. And, you know, sometimes it's, you get low floor, high ceiling, high floor, low ceiling, you know, it's just kind of all over the place. But if you can get high and high, that's a good place to be. So I think the comparison works out there. Different kind of body types, but yeah, honestly, there was a time when I thought he might be inside full time. You know, he's a big kid. He's just under 6'5", carries 250, like it's 235. You know, he's got a lot to like in that frame, but this is a kid that can play at 265, 270 and would not look out of place on the end of the line at all. So yeah, I think there's a lot to like in terms of what he brings to the table as a pass rusher, a guy that can eventually play the run as well. But in terms of being a complete defensive end, they haven't brought in many like him.
And this follows up July commitments from Zane Durant, interior lineman down in Orlando. Of course, you've got Tyrese Fearbry, who is out of Pittsburgh, an edge rusher. And additionally, Ken Talley on board for a while. We've been talking about how he's gravitating toward that, putting himself in a three-point stance, not being that linebacker. I know speaking with him, that's where his mind is. He thinks he's going to be attacking off the edge at Penn State. So really, you know, pretty swiftly here. And Caleb Artis, of course, I overlooked that. So in July, you've added four pieces to your defensive front now with Deni Dennis Sutton. You tack that onto what you already had with Ken Talley, who he thinks ends up there. Is it about time where we talk about closing up shop on the defensive line recruiting, or is that a spot where maybe you're looking for another cherry on top down the stretch?
I don't know that you're looking for another cherry on top. They certainly would like Alex Van Sumeren from Michigan to jump in the boat, the defensive tackle. As far as the edge goes, you're always looking for that type of guy. And because of the situation that they're in where, you know, there's not too many of them on the current roster ready to play, if that guy becomes available, it's such a premium position. Maybe you make that guy a plus one. I don't know that there's anybody that just sort of screams potential Nittany Lion out of that group, but you know, you never know going into the fall, you get some official visits, maybe try and flip a guy or something like that. You're always looking for edge, you know, length on the edge, speed off the edge. And so I don't see too many more fireworks with this. I'm just kind of looking here. You obviously have the potential of adding a quote unquote potential edge guy in Abdul Carter. I know we see him as a linebacker, but eventually nature could win that one and he could eventually end up as a defensive end, did some really good things at camp as a defensive end. Jay Sean Barham might be in the same mold. DJ Wesselak from Missouri, I believe it is, has been basically in daily contact with the staff. Wouldn't be shocked to see him visit. So there's names out there, but look at where they're at 21 commits. There's not too much more room in there. And there's a lot of guys, defensive backfield, still some chips to fall there. You still would like to add another linebacker. They're still in on some wide receivers, as we talked about in the first episode this week. Not as many spots as they have targets, and that's a good thing. But at the same time, you're probably going to have to say no to some pretty decent players.
What's next at McDonough School? Well, this will be 4 out of 5 cycles, Sean, where Penn State signs a defensive player. Maybe offensive player gets involved here next. 2023 offensive lineman Antonio Tripp, top 24/7 prospect in the 2023 class, the guy who has been to Happy Valley as recently as July. Another name to monitor, and it seems like every single cycle there'll be someone to focus in on down in McDonough.
Yeah, McDonough's churning them out like few programs down there. Not just churning out scholarship guys, but high level scholarship guys. Penn State obviously has gotten a lot from PJ Mustafa. They have high hopes for Devon Ellis. Curtis Jacobs is going to start for them as a freshman this year. So there's a lot of I guess high level guys coming out of that school. They do a tremendous job of churning those guys out. I think Deny is right up there with Jacobs in terms of the best prospects that they've been able to put out. Tripp will be back on campus for the Lash Bash. I think he's a future crystal ball coming his way. And they're just going to keep churning them out down there. Hakeem Sule, the head coach there, has done a fantastic job turning that into one of those big time talent producers in Maryland. Obviously you look at the WCAC schools that Gonzaga, or excuse me, the DeMathas, good councils have been able to put them out there. Gonzaga's in DC, and I know somebody will call me on that, but St. Francis has evolved, but McDonough's been right up there. And to be honest with you, McDonough guys have hit at a higher rate than the St. Francis guys. I know St. Francis has a ton of talent and they do a fantastic job of getting guys spread out all over the place, but McDonough guys on the whole have been a little bit more successful. So I think that's an interesting subplot when you look at the last couple of years.
21 commitments once again now for Penn State. Last cycle, they signed 17 total players. I'm including the late addition who came in from Iowa Western Community College, Jordan Vandenberg. And then you factor in no Nate Bruce, Lonnie White. We're not anticipating him being a part of this class. We're still waiting on the decision with the Pittsburgh Pirates and his draft status. But you're going to end up with, what, 15 newcomers from that class last year. And now you're at 21, Sean. The next thing to know here. Cam Miller announcing on Monday. There's been a few others we talked about in July. This thing's going to keep on going. We will be back with another episode. We're going to come to you from Big Ten Media Days, talk about this Penn State football program. But when a commitment like this breaks, we want to get some information analysis to you as soon as possible. Anything else to talk about here before we close the chapter on the denied Dennis Sutton commitment? And if you're looking for more on this, folks, it's all over Lions247.com right now, the impact of this commitment.
Yeah, and I think that kind of shows how big of a commitment this is for Penn State. Hope to get Denai on the podcast here soon to talk about. I know he's expressed interest and very, very sharp kid. This is a kid that I think you're going to see a lot of the branding for this class and for, you know, for his future around that, because I think name, image, and likeness is something that they're trying to push hard and put for a guy like that. That's a guy that can cash in certainly at this with this new wave of money coming into to college football. So I think he's a tremendous kid. I can't wait to cover him at the next level. And, you know, it's a big, big one for Penn State.
You sound like me when I was talking about Jason Owe. You know that, right?
Dude, it's one of those things. The first time I talked to him, I think I called Doan right after. I'm like, dude, this kid is unbelievable. Just kind of blew me away with maturity, with the right questions or the right answers and things like that. It's just really there's not too many of this kid floating around out there. And I'm a big fan of what he's been able to do and how he's been able to handle himself throughout the process.
And that does lead me to wonder how he could help this group further along with their peer recruiting guys like Caden Saunders, Drew Shelton, Makai Flowers, Ken Talley, Drew Aller, Bo Prabula. They've been exceptional in that department. Seems like they're adding a personality that's going to further enhance those efforts. They got a few more spots to fill, aiming high, got a big one today. Denied Dennis Sutton. Thanks for joining us here on the Lions 24/7 podcast. On behalf of Sean Fitz, I'm Tyler Donahue. We'll talk to you real soon.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.